be dancing and spinning around. Amen. A little dizzy up here, but that's okay. It's a good thing. I want to thank you all for being here this morning. Really good message, I believe, to kind of really get us started. But I want to just take some time to thank Pastor Cruz and his daughter, Cecia. They delivered a very timely and powerful word last week about depending on the word of God. And that's so important. I'm glad we got to start the year with that. And just a reminder that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And speaking of bread, everybody still doing okay with this 21 days? Amen. Hope you are doing well with us. And I just want to let you know, if you haven't started the fast, you haven't been fasting with us, or maybe you skipped a few days here and there, please just jump right back into it, or just jump into it for the first time. If you do a 14-day fast, I think God will still bless you. Amen. I don't think it'll be a problem at all. So if you want to just join in with us, we believe some great things are coming at the end of this fast. And as my wife mentioned, you can look up some of the information. I think you can get some in the back in the lobby, but you can also look up the information on our website at clcsb.org or our South Bend or CLC South Bend app. The information should be there. As I mentioned, today we're starting a new series. It's entitled Arise and Shine. Can you just tell somebody next to you that? Arise and Shine. And I believe this is getting ready to be a theme for our entire year here at CLC. It's based out of the scripture found in Isaiah 60. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with that. And it's the main focus of our message today. And I want to start this message just with reading a few of the verses from that passage, and then just share a little bit as God leads us. So Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, here's what it says. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Let me just start right off the bat here with just helping you understand what we mean by arise and shine. He says, arise, shine. And so God has given us an instruction. Arise, that means come up to a place and shine. Let something be illuminated from you. Not necessarily to you. Yes, you will receive something, but there's something that needs to illuminate from you, that needs to go out from you. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is here. Your light has come. That means Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the authority of his word, they are all assembled and ready. Ready to go, ready to do what God wants to do. And so he has a command for us that while we might be over here kind of, you know, just snoozing a little bit, he's looking at us saying, arise. Why? Because I'm over here ready. I'm coming. I have come. Not coming. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm in the starting blocks, and I need you to arise with me because you and I are getting ready to do something great in the earth. We're getting ready to be a great blessing to people who find themselves in great darkness. You and I, says the Lord, are getting ready to do something together. We were in a prayer meeting yesterday, or not yesterday, but Thursday this week. And one of the points that came out of that was that if you read John 15, it talks about Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And at the end of that, it talks about the fruit that gets produced. And what came out of our prayer meeting is an understanding that Jesus is saying, I'm the vine. I can't produce fruit without branches. I know you keep saying, let God do it and let God have it and wait on God and God is in control and so forth, but I can't produce fruit in this earth without branches. I need branches. And so you are the branches, but you can't produce fruit without a vine. So God is saying, listen, I need you to arise. Let's link up together. And you and I are getting ready to do something great in the earth. You and I. You're not just going to put it all off on me, and I'm not going to just put it all off on you. We together are getting ready to bless this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to wait for the applause to die down before I continue. And so he says in verse 2, darkness is covering the earth. And if you remember some of the things that one of the ministers, I think his name was Jonathan Kahn, a while back, he talked about how darkness was filling the earth. And the world is getting exceedingly dark. But the people of God are growing in with exceeding light. And when you have darkness getting darker, it's going to be a whole lot easier to see light that's getting lighter. It's going to be a whole lot easier to identify that light. But you have to arise. And you have to let the light shine so that people who are coming out of darkness can see that light, because they need that light. They need that light. And so when we talk about what it means to arise, I want to make sure you understand that I'm not just saying we need to arise and let the world know we're Christians and let the world know we're saved. It's not about making sure that the world knows who you are, because that's just not important to the world. They need to come out of darkness. They don't need to know where you are. They don't need to know what you're about. They need what you have, though. And so understanding that being a Christian is more than just us saying a prayer at the altar and coming to church on Sunday. Being a Christian has more to do with expressing what's in us. Expressing. Pressing out. Forcing something out. Letting something come out of us. That's more than just about who I am in Christ, but that actually demonstrates the attributes of Christ to the world. And then there are some examples of that. You can see people that are more loving, that people that serve, people that are giving, people that show kindness, that we're patient, that we have mercy, we show compassion, we're honest, we're faithful, we have humility, we walk in humility. Those are just some of the attributes that we normally see with believers in Christ. Now, do you have to be a believer in Christ to demonstrate those things? Of course not. Yeah, in fact, not only do some people do it all the time, thank you for that, but there's a whole lot of people without Christ that oftentimes demonstrate these things better than we who have Christ. And that's not a slam against us, but it's like, hey, let's make sure that we're letting that light shine. Let's make sure that we are walking in humility. Let's make sure that we are walking in forgiveness. Yeah. And so when we arise, when we talk about what it means to arise, we're saying, listen, don't cower back when it comes to demonstrating those things, when it comes to demonstrating forgiveness, when it comes to demonstrating humility. Don't hold back with those things. When it comes to demonstrating kindness to people who are mean to you, when it comes to forgiving people who don't want to apologize, when it comes to reconciling relationships, even though you know there's tension. That's a lot of things that I want from the Lord through it. But one of the things in particular is that I've been asking God to enlarge my love tank. Now, when we talk about a love tank, a lot of times we talk about that in relation to having our love tanks filled, and that's a good thing, having our love tanks filled, helping others to get their love tanks filled, and so forth, just meaning that we're pouring love into people. But I want my love tank to be enlarged, and what I mean by my love tank is the tank where God's love resides to pour out to others. That's one of the desires, and understand, I'm aware of what that means. That means sometimes you end up going through a lot of things so that your heart can truly expand and really love people the way that God wants us to love them. I'm aware of that. Nevertheless, God, I'm praying that you enlarge my love tank. Because what I see and what you need for your kingdom and what your people need, not just your people, what people need in this world, I want to be a part of your kingdom. And I see that I have some places in my life, particularly the love area, that need to be expanded. That need to be expanded so that more of your love can pour out of me and onto others, and others can be truly touched by you. That's my desire for 2019. And I recognize that means God's, you know, in the pressing, in the crushing. I get that. You're making new wine. I understand all of that. But if I have to be pressed, then so let it be. Need to be crushed, so let it be, God. Then, you know, I don't necessarily want that, but I do want the end result of it desperately, because this world needs your light and your love. And so as we can get into this message a little bit, I just want to share a few points and then just list them out a little bit for you like we normally do, and then try to connect everything at the end and see where this goes. And God, just be with us here in our midst and just teach us, Lord, by the power of your spirit. So I want to talk about when God calls us to shine his light into the world. Here's the first point that I want to talk about. Let God's light shine through you. Okay? Light means truth. Ephesians 4:15 talks about speaking the truth in love. You have the references there. The scriptures aren't on the screen, but you have the references. You can look those up in your convenience. Speaking the truth in love. Psalms 51:6 talks about God, you desire truth on the inward parts. And so in there you have a twofold component where we let light and the love of God shine through us and the truth of God shine through us. I first need it in the inward parts. When I look at my own life and I recognize the truth, I deal with other people's truth a little differently than when I do it in reverse. So if I'm looking at your truth, oh man, you're a mess. You know, you need to change. You just need Jesus. You need to pray on that. But when I take a look at my own life and I recognize, you know, it's not all that, you know, good looking in here. It's not all that together in here. I have a whole lot more compassion for how you're dealing with what you're dealing with. And a lot of times when I see you struggling with what you're struggling with, I won't have to say a word. I may just need to give you a big hug, just let you cry it out and just let you feel whatever it is you're feeling. And did just say, you know what, I understand what you're going through. God's here to help us. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's going to help you through this. And we have a whole lot of more compassion when we look on the inward parts. God, light also means goodness. You know, in John 3:19, the Bible talks about how men love darkness because their deeds were evil. But if you read in verse 21, it says that people who do the truth, they walk right in the light. People who walk in the truth and do good things, they walk right in the light. They want everybody to see how, you know, how good they're doing. But when we up to something, you know, a little shady, we want all the lights out. I don't want nobody. We're going to do this at midnight. Come on, late in the midnight hour. We want all the lights out when we're doing dark and evil. We don't want anybody seeing anything. But when we know we're doing right and walking in truth, the light, we want to walk in that light. Amen. Light also means direction. I believe it's Psalms 119:105 that talks about your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God's word, his truth, is a lamp to my feet. It shows me where I am right now. It's a light to my path. It shows me where I'm going, whether good or bad. God will show you, hey, you're standing in this spot, and this is where you're headed. Whether that's good or bad, you know, his light will help us to reveal that. And also as an identity. Matthew 5:14-16 talks about you are the light of the world. Your city that's set upon a hill. You're not meant to be hidden. You're meant to arise. You're meant to shine. Okay? You're not meant to be covered up. Nobody lights a lamp and then covers it up. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We light that lamp so that it can give light to the world. Therefore, let your light so shine so that men will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Because people need to see that. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 60, if we go to verse 5, here's another part to this that I'll just read it. I won't say what it is. I'll just let you be the judge of whatever I'm saying here. But verse 5, it says, then you will, did I read 6? I don't think I read 3 and 4, did I? Let's read 3 and 4 first. It says that the Gentiles shall come to your land. I don't know what this thing is, just scrolling crazy. But it says in verse 6, in chapter 60, verses 3 and 4, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you. So I may have explained that, but I don't think I read the scripture to you. But people will be drawn to your light, and that's important to understand, so that we understand that it's necessary for the light of Jesus Christ to shine from us. It's necessary for me to not arise from a physical state of coming up, but arise to the point where I answer the call of what God's calling me to be. That's what it means to arise. I come up to the life that God's called on me to live. So arise. Tell your neighbor that. Arise. Amen. So he says, come up hither. For the King James people in the house. Come up hither. People need to see your light. And so as we get into this point here of letting your light shine, verse 5 takes us into a whole different it takes us into a whole new place where we have to be mindful of. It says, then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart will swell with joy. There's something that's going to give you great joy when you start seeing people coming to not just you and your light, but coming to God, coming to faith in him, coming out of darkness and into his marvelous light. There's something in your heart that's going to swell with joy. But listen to this. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now we just shifted and talking about some money. Like, what? So what this tells me is that for all that we may have heard the prosperity gospel and so forth, and for however much we may have either sided with it or slammed against it, this scripture tells me that there's some validity to it. There's money coming. That people are who have trusted in great riches are going to be willing to turn their things and their resources over to whoever needs it. Whoever is willing to take this and distribute it and disperse it the way that it really needs to be distributed and dispersed so that some good can be done with it. So I'm a believer that God wants his people to prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper, to prosper and to possess wealth. What I don't really necessarily subscribe to is that God wants us to be rich. And you might be saying, well, what's the difference? And here's the difference the way I see it. When we prosper, that means there's work that we're doing and it's being multiplied in terms of what comes back to us. And then there's also something that God rewards us with that overwhelms us and is way abundant above what we need. Wealth is pretty much the same thing. But when we have a wealth mentality, we have more of a concern with how we make resources work to make things in our communities better. When we talk about being rich, we're talking more about how everything comes to me for my desire and my pleasure, how I can hoard up things for myself so that I feel important or whatever the case may be. So I believe God wants us to possess wealth, but I believe he wants us to have it so that we can be distributors of it. So that when there's a need here, we have what we need so that we can meet that need so that somebody's life can be blessed and that somebody can get back on their feet, and then they can be all that God's called them to be, and things begin to work in that regard. So there's a difference between being rich and having wealth. And I don't want to get too deep into that, but I believe God wants to send us not just people, but also the resources that help us to care for people. Make sense? Now, in so doing, all of that, whether people or just resources and finances and so forth, I believe there's a place where we have to be faithful to arise, faithful to shine. So that's the next point. We have to be faithful. Be faithful to God. The reason being is because, as we're getting ready to see here in Matthew, that when we are faithful over what we have, God sends us more. When we're faithful with what we have, God sends us more. Let me read through the scriptures here. In Matthew 25, 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like," and I just want to pause right there, as I shared this past Wednesday at our prayer time here, is that when we see, and Jesus says this phrase a lot in the Gospels, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." When we hear that as we read the scriptures, I think it's very important to pay attention. Because for whatever our humanity wants to make God or kingdom or whatever, Jesus is helping us to understand what it really is. So whatever notion our culture may be thinking is a godly thing, or what our cultures may be, you know, describing as this is the kingdom, and this is what it means to be godly, and this is what it means to be a good person, just shelf that for a minute, okay? And understand what Jesus is saying. This is what the kingdom is like. Whatever your human understanding may have thought about it, this is what it is, okay? And so he begins to explain. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. He gave five to one, two to another, and then one to the third servant. And then in verse 20 it says, "So he who had received the five talents came and brought five other talents." And talents, of course, is not about, you know, my ability to sing and dance or whatever. It's a sum of money. That's what he's talking about here when he talks about talents. And he says, "Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them." And then his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Same thing happened with the guy who had two talents. And then when you go to verse 24, it says, "The one who had received one talent came and said this, 'Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I was afraid. And when I went and I hid your talent in the ground. So look, here's what is yours.' But the Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where you have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money in the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. So then, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Now, I don't know if you would think this, or if people in general would think this, but I can imagine my own mind, just allowing my own mind to just think humanistically. I would probably be inclined to say, "Oh, this poor guy, he was so scared. Just have mercy on him. Come on, God." That's what my human mind would say. But Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom is like. Let me calm myself down so I don't misrepresent, Lord. Because this is what I sense. I sense God saying, listen, there's no place for fear in the kingdom. And there's so certainly no place for wickedness and laziness when it comes to the kingdom. I need you to arise. I need you to shine. I'm already here, the light. The glory is already here to shine for you, but I need you to arise so that you and I can do something in this world together and change many lives. But if I'm wicked and lazy, then I just give God back what was his. Imagine, if you will, you have a child. Let's go over here and say this child. There's a child here. You guys have a good imagination. So there's a child here. Imagine I give this child a box of Legos, pour them out, and this child is excited about these Legos. He just piling them up, just throwing them up and down, and just letting them fall. And now we know what Legos are for. Legos are for building. You stack one on top of another, you build something, you come up with something creative and so forth. And this child is just piling them up, woo, throwing them up, they just landing, woo, just they're just excited. And so you leave, okay, have fun with that. Come back an hour later. This child is still just throwing Legos in the air. Woo! This is great. Woo! I was just looking. They landed just a big pile of Legos. Now you got another child over here, same box of Legos, but they built a castle. They built a castle with a drawbridge. And you're looking at this picture. And you say, you know what? This, I know you're having fun with this, but here, let me just go ahead and take this over here. Let me just give you these action figures or something. You just go nuts with that. But I'm gonna take this, put it over here. Why? Because I know over here is gonna become something. So God says, I'm getting ready to send people your way because the world is exceedingly dark. They want to come out of light, and I'm going to send them to you. But if I send them to you, I got to make sure you're getting ready to make something out of them. Or else I can't send them to you. If you don't arise and shine and join with me in shining the light to these lives that are getting ready to come your way. And I was going to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it now. I don't want you to think that means the church is getting ready to grow. The church might be getting ready to grow, but I want you to understand this isn't about the number of people that are getting ready to walk across this threshold. This is about the number of people that's getting ready to encounter you where you are, and not just on Sunday morning. This is talking about the people that are just going to come to you at your job. If you want to know about revival, revival may not come to the church. Revival may come right to your cubicle. The revival may come right to the grocery store line that you're standing in. It may come to you in your classroom. Revival may come to you right in the middle of the street. Because if you think revival means some pastor's got to get up and lead some crusade march, that's not the way revival is going to happen. Revival is people shining the light and people who are stuck in darkness coming to where light is, wherever it's shining. Nothing wrong with a crusade, nothing wrong with a march, nothing wrong with that, but it's in 2019, it's not going to happen that way. It might. I'm not trying to prophesy anything, but I'm just saying God is going to send people who are in darkness to wherever light is shining. It says, for everyone, verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. So it's like, if I've given you something to be faithful over, I need you to be faithful over and demonstrate that I can trust you with what I'm trying to send you. If not, then your services really are worthless to me. Now, I'm not trying to be cruel in saying that, but I'm telling you, that's what the kingdom is like. I don't even want to read this part about weeping and gnashing the teeth. But it's there. He said, cast the unprofitable. So I got to read it. It's there. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So be faithful to God. Be faithful in what he's called you to right now. Because what he's doing is exercising something in you that's preparing you for what's coming. And when what's coming comes, it's just going to elevate you to a whole new place. Point number three. Have compassion for people. Let your light shine. Let the light of God shine through you. Be faithful to God and be compassionate to people. Matthew 9:36. It says, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep with having no shepherd. I want to pray this prayer of repentance from my own heart and let it touch your heart in some kind of way. But Lord, forgive me for when I saw people as just something in my way. You ever recognize that? I recognized that this morning when we had our prayer time here and we let the song play. And I thought about this point in particular, and God really, it brought me to tears, and God really just kind of did a number on my heart. And I just had to say, God, forgive me when people were just something in my way. And I just needed to get by. And I did not lift up my eyes to see that these were people who were weary and like sheep without a shepherd, that had needs but didn't know where to turn, that were living in darkness while I carried the light but hid it inside. Lord, forgive me for all the times that I looked and I didn't see precious jewels. I just saw debris that needed to be cleared out so that I can get to where I needed to go. Lord, expand my love tank. Help me to have more mercy. When I was preparing this message, the question came to me. The question didn't even come. God was just giving me the answer to this particular question about why do bad things happen to good people? Well, we have to need to first understand that the Bible says that none of us are really good. We understand. But I know what we mean when we say why do, you know, seem like people who are trying to help, trying to make a difference in the world, seem like bad things always happen to them. And people who are living wild and crazy lives, you know, it seems like they just have all the fun and nothing really happens to them. They just seem to skate by. Well, what God began to help me to see was that when we are the light and we need to arise and we need to shine, there are times, it's not all the time, but there are times when we need to be touched with some degree of what those who are still living in darkness are experiencing. Because if we don't, if we're not touched with some degree of that, we will not have compassion and they will just be debris that needs to be moved. And until we have real compassion in our lives, they just remain as debris that needs to get out of our way so that we can get by and do what we got to do. But when we're touched with something, and it doesn't have to be the full measure of what they're going through, but some degree of what they're going through, then we have compassion. I remember, and it's just a small example here. Some of you all remember I was talking last year, at the end of last year, I was struggling with some back pain. And before that, I could watch television and see commercials, you know, about back stuff and just, you know, just go right through it. When my back started hurting, I was like, Shaquille O'Neal, I feel you, man. I know what you're talking about, brother. I might stop by the general and give me some insurance, too. What? I don't know. But I feel you on that icy high. Lord have mercy. I mean, I was paying attention almost to, oh, God, I understand, just to the point of tears. Every back commercial, every chiropractor that was advertising, I noticed it all. When my back started hurting. It's the same with people. When there's a certain pain in your life, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I understand. Whereas before, it's like, oh, you know, whatever. I got to go. I got to do something. You're right. I'll pray for you. Whatever. But when I'm touched with that same affliction or some measure of it, all of a sudden, bring it in. Come on, bring it in. Just give me a hug. I'm right here for you. I understand. That's why you went through so much in 2018. You didn't even realize. All God was helping you to do was be prepared for the people that are coming in 19. It wasn't just about a blessing that's coming your way. It's about a people that need the light, that if you don't have some measure of what they're going through, you'll just pass right by them. You won't even see them. It'd just be another commercial to the game. Come on. There'll just be another advertisement. Whatever. Side effects include nausea. You know, all that stuff. Like, just keep going. Whatever. But when you're touched with some measure of what they're going through, it's like, I get you. And that's where God needs us to be. I want to close with this. I was watching a video. Some of you guys know, you know, Bill Johnson out in Redding, California, one of my favorite preachers for Bethel Church, and just some amazing revelations come out of his mouth. And he was teaching on a message called, I think it was called Open Heavens. And a very recent, well, I don't know how recent the message was, but I only got it very recently. And he mentioned something about Peter, when Jesus in Luke 5 had to use Peter's boat to just kind of, the crowds were so vast that Jesus didn't have enough room to really preach to them, so he had to come kind of get out into the sea, and he needed Peter's boat to do so, and so he asked Peter to let him use his boat, and so when he did that, he preached this message, and all the multitudes got blessed, and so I guess in just wanting to thank Peter and bless him for what he had given, he's a fisherman here, Peter, and Peter had caught no fish. So Jesus says, why don't we launch out into the deep and just let your nets out so you can catch a whole bunch of fish? And Peter was very reluctant in that moment and said, well, I've been out here all night and I haven't caught anything. There's nothing out here. But, all right, if you say so. So he launches out, casts his net down, and so many fish get into his net that his boat starts to sink and his net start to tear. And he fell down in that moment and said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a wretched man. Now, there was two things that came out of that from this video. Well, one of them came out, and none of them just, God just had to help me understand and reveal to me. The first one is that people come to a place of repentance when there is overwhelming kindness. In this moment, Jesus was overwhelmingly kind to Peter. He did not have to do that for Peter, but he overwhelmed him with kindness. That's why the Bible says, I believe it's in Romans 2, don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere in the Bible where it talks about the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. We don't believe that. Because when we try to bring people to repentance, we're pointing out their sin. It never dawns on us that overwhelming kindness makes people want to live better. Overwhelming kindness makes people want to live better. That's why, God, you got to enlarge my love tank. Because in my flesh, if I see people coming out of the darkness, I'm going to judge them for their darkness. But if my love tank is full, I won't care where they are. I won't care where they what they've come from, what they're struggling with. I'll invite them into my life space so that they can receive the love that God has poured into me for themselves. And not really care about what they have in return for me. But the second thing was that, yeah, this did come out of video. I didn't get no revelation out of this. This is both out of video. He says, Peter, and from this day forward, you're not just going to be a fisherman. You're going to be a fisher of men. And what he said from that was, not only are you going to catch men for my kingdom, but it's going to happen this same way. It's going to be overwhelming. The people that are going to come to your light, your life needing the light of Christ is going to be overwhelming. To the place where it's like, good Lord, why are all these people calling me? Why do these people keep coming to my desk? Because your light is on. And they're in too much darkness. And they're ready to come out. And one of them heard about the light that's shining in you. And they looked around and said, man, and they looked around some other people who was in the dark. Hey, this dude over here got some light. Oh, man, I'm struggling. Man, you need to go talk to Doug. You need to go talk to Kawana. You need to go talk to Laura. You need to go talk to Angela. You need to talk to Miss Karen. You need to talk to Pastor Shauna. You need to talk to Bobby and Jeff. Because their light is shining. You need to talk to Larry and Jill. You need to talk to Mr. Lorso back there. You need to talk to Banny, who think I ain't looking at him. You need to talk to Miss Teresa. And you sure need to talk to Bill, because he'll lay hands on you and pray like ain't nothing to it. Some fire getting ready to fall when Bill pray for you. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Put your own name in there. I can't get time to name everybody. But put your own name in there, because that's where light's getting ready to show up. And that's where people are getting ready. You need to go to put your name in there, and they're coming. They are coming. If they come to church, then so be it. Right? We'll welcome them. We'll love them to their next place in God as best we know how to do. But I'm telling you, they're not just coming to CLC. They're not just coming to New Faith. They're not just coming to some place. New Horizon, they're not just coming to churches. They're coming to the church. They're coming to the church. They're coming to you. And you got to be ready to let your light shine. You got to be ready to arise. You got to be ready to live up to the place where God is calling you to live. Not about a degree or a title, but about love and compassion. Me close one more time. Try it again. My wife and I, we had a family outing, our family get together out in Wisconsin with a lot of her side of the family, and big family. It was a really good time. And one of our nieces, who's now married, and they have two, I want to say three kids, and I'll just say that for my own personal reasons. But they also have a dog. And this is it's a wild dog. I won't say it because somebody might have one of those dogs and then think I'm talking about it. I don't want to get mad at them. But it's a wild dog. And, yeah, okay, sweet. And not very well trained. And many of you know we already have a dog, Boxer Beagle. Kind of started off that way, but is now, 5, 6 years old. She's grown, matured. She obeys commands very well, very well trained. And when we were at this outing, we were offered this other dog. And everybody in our family, you know, recognized this is not good. And so sure enough, we took the dog because we knew that, you know, my niece and her husband, their family, they needed a break. And her sister was actually my niece's sister, my other niece. You know, she was kind of taking care of the dog, and, you know, she was about tired of this dog as well. So we went ahead, took the dog, brought the dog home. Her and my other dog came face to face. And it lasted for all of about 20 seconds. And this is 2 weeks ago. Ever since then, they've been, you know, getting along and so forth. But I recognize something, that there's a certain way that I am affectionate with my original dog. And she loves it. She laps it up. She likes to be rubbed. You can rub her all day long, literally. And she would love it. She would forget to eat.
Well, she would forget to eat.
I think she'd probably stop eating and come back and find you.
That's funny.
This other dog doesn't really like to be touched that much. In fact, if you touch her the wrong way, she will actually growl at you and bite you. And God taught me something in that. And said, Doug, there's a certain way that you're loving this dog. And this dog receives it. But this other dog needs something different. So when I try to pour the same love on this new dog, she doesn't really, a lot of times she just ignores it. Yeah, whatever. Walk away. You go smelling around the sofa somewhere. Like, and I'm frustrated because she's not receiving my love. And then the love that she does want, I don't want to give her. Because she likes chewing up everything. I'm serious. I drop like a pen cap and it's... like, a pen cap, really? What is wrong with you? She likes chewing on stuff. And she can do that all day. You give her one of those little rope things and she'll just pull on it. You know how dogs do. She loves it. My other dog, she used to do that, but she doesn't really care. You throw that in front of her, it's like, I'm happy for you for throwing it. You learn how to throw. Good job, master. Now take me for a walk and come rub me. And so God began to teach me in that moment, Doug, there's a certain way you might love people who you already know. But there's some people coming your way, you don't know how to love them. And until you really get to know them, you won't know how to love them. So you gotta spend some very frustrated time just getting to know them and what they really need. And you can't tell, and you can't say within yourself, well, I gave them love, they rejected my love, so forget them. Like, no, they're not rejecting love. You just haven't found out where their love really is, where their love point really is. What really gets, do they need the quality time or do they need the gifts? Do they need the words of affirmation or do they need personal touch? Everybody don't like to be touched. But somebody needs to hear a word from you. And while you might be quiet and may not want to say nothing, why? Because you're scared, so you're going to mess something. Don't be scared or lazy or wicked. If that's what they need, then that's what you give them. So God needs us to arise. If you can just, I want to, okay, this is my last close right here. This is it. Because it's getting ready to depend on you right here. Now, I know we kind of scattered because a lot of the children were sitting here and they're gone now into their various classrooms. But if you could just do this with me, because I believe this is getting ready to be a prophetic act for the body of Christ. Not just for CLC, but for the entire body of Christ. Not just for Michiana, the entire body of Christ all around the world. It might feel a little awkward, so I'm not going to leave you in this position very long. But if you can just grab, if you can just clasp hands with someone next to you. I don't mean just hold their hand, but you know what I mean? I mean clasp hands, like so. Yeah. I'm sorry, my hand's so cold. In Luke 5, Peter has a moment with Jesus where he tells Peter to throw his net over the side of his boat. Peter does it reluctantly, and he does it by himself. And when all the fish come in, his boat begins to sink and his nets begin to tear. When this happens again in John chapter 21, Peter is with all the other disciples. Jesus has died, he's been buried, he has resurrected at this moment, and he's on the shore cooking breakfast already. And he sees the disciples and he yells out to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they say, "No, we haven't caught anything." And Jesus once again tells them, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." And when they do that, a whole draught of fish come. But the Bible is very clear that their nets did not break. And we're not trying to do it alone. And when we do it by faith, not being reluctant, not being hesitant, but we're ready. We've arrived. We arise and we really do shine, but we're not doing it alone. But we're interlocked with other believers. Look at what we form. We actually form a net right here in this moment. Your hands are clasped with each other's, and that the place where they're clasped is not just, it's not just like this where you're just holding hands like you're saying a prayer, because that can come loose too easy. That's why the Bible says two is better than one, but a threefold cord that's braided together, you got 10 fingers all wrapped around each other. That's not coming apart too easily. So in Jesus' name, Father, we commit this a prophetic act right now, and we say we're not tearing apart from one another, but we are interlocked with one another. We're not doing this by ourselves. We're not doing it hesitantly or reluctantly, but Lord, full of faith so that the nets don't break. So that when you send the people, when you send the people our way, whether we're individually or here corporately, when you send the people our way, we won't lose them. We'll pull them to safe shore. We'll pull them into safe harbor, so that their lives can be pulled out of darkness and into your light. So Lord, let our nets be strong. Let our hearts arise, and let the light of Jesus Christ shine in us, through us, to make a difference in this world. Amen. Can you put your hands together and just glorify God in this moment? God needs us to arise. God needs us to shine. It's not just about bringing people to church. There's nothing, I'm not telling you don't, oh, we got to stay away from church. I'm not saying that. But that's not the first. If they're coming to you, they're coming to your light. They're coming to the light that's in you. And if you need some help, just like Peter, when his boat was sinking, he called for the other fishermen, "Help me get this. I can't afford to lose this. You having trouble? Help me get this. Help me get this. We can't afford to lose these lives." Amen. So Lord, thank you. We want to be the light. We don't want to just talk about being the light. We don't want to say that we're bulbs. We don't want to say that we are lamps. We want to actually shine light. We don't just want to be Christians. We want to be Christians. get that. We don't just want to be Christians. We want to actually be what Christ wants us to be to this world. Amen. I want to invite our prayer team to come. If you just need prayer, for anything in your life, we invite you to come. But what we want more than anything, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is the light that lights every person. And He wants to give us light. He wants to give us truth. He wants to give us His joy. He wants to give us new life. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to come right now at this time. Why don't we stand together? For whatever you might need prayer for, we invite you to come. Smile on your face, with whatever handshake, with whatever support you offer or lend to them, they're going to see light. Keep letting it shine. Don't look for what's coming back to you, because if anything's coming back to you, trust me, God is faithful to get it into your hands, whatever you need. Don't worry about what's coming back to you. Focus more on what's coming out of you. If you see something that's not like God, just say, God, just like Peter, God, I'm a wretched man, forgive me. Why don't you replace what I just expressed with your light, so that that light can be what shines. Not my anger, not my frustration, not my judgment, not my unforgiveness, Lord, but let it be your love. Let it be your joy. Let it be your peace. Let it be your goodness. Let it be your compassion, your mercy, your grace. Let it be your kindness, your patience, your goodness, Lord. Let it be you. In the name of Jesus. If you're in need of prayer, we invite you to come. Maybe you need a little bit more strengthening to be that light. We would certainly love to pray for you. Amen. Let's lift our hands at this moment. We're going to dismiss from this service today. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to co-labor with you, the God of heaven, the God of earth, possessor and creator of all things. including us. You invite us to join with you to bless this world. What a rich honor it is to labor with you in your vineyard. Such a deep, rich honor, Lord. And we thank you for it. Help us, Lord God, to let the light shine in dark places. Help us to let the light shine, Lord, so that those who are trapped in darkness can see your light, Lord, and that their lives would be richly blessed and forever changed for the better. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hug somebody next to you. Just love on them. Tell them to have a great week, and we will see you next time. If you're in need of prayer, we invite you to come. Have a great week.